Hello, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day. As of this very last few seconds, to all my friends in Ireland in the chat box there and to everyone else in the world, it's lovely to be with you again today on People's Internet Radio. And this is my show, and I'm not sure if it's Jill Trebukhok now or Jill Trebukhok Talk About. What is it, my producer, Stephen Roberts?
It's whatever you want it to be. It's your show now.
And today we have the most magnificent woman who I only met yesterday in a park at a demonstration.
Meeting like this.
We do. So this
is a little park bench, and it was quite dark.
And you were talking
about.
She
approached me with a microphone. I said, "Is that a microphone in your hand? Are you just pleased to see me?" Oh, I didn't. Now, you know, Jill. You know, you're talking to. I have dual citizenship. I am Irish. You know.
Really?
Yes, I do. Yes, through my grandmother, Nellie McGinty. Yes, so I'm a wee Irish girl sitting here as well as being an Aussie.
And you're also an architect, and you're a director, and you're an actress, and you're a thousand different things. And you were wearing black linen and a hot pink scarf, and I was absolutely certain you were me because, well, not really, but so I thought she's wearing exactly what I would like to wear.
Brain.
I beg your pardon?
It was just me coat you wanted, not me brain.
That's right. And the fact that you were talking about the Prime Minister's vagina or the ex-Prime Minister's vagina, I thought she's a woman after my own heart.
It all came about because someone mentioned we actually gave out Tony Abbott's phone number to the crowd. It was a march in March, and I don't know whether Ireland has heard about this, but we had we've had 2 days of marching on the streets, which does absolutely nothing. I've marched all my life and absolutely nothing's changed. But we get out there and it changes our hearts, I think, a little bit to march. But we gave out the phone number of Prime Minister Abbott's office, and apparently he's sitting in the same chair that they've all sat in. And I wondered if he was actually sitting on Julie Gillard's wet spot. And I thought this would be so good if only we could poison him from the bottom up, girls, from the bottom up.
Yes. You are just outrageous. This is absolutely
anyway,
hilarious.
I'm really not outrageous. It's just that I've been doing this for so long and standing up and just trying to counteract the poison that's in our lives. And I've been called everything, and I've had letters written to me by men who hate me, and everyone hates me. But honestly, I'm very funny, and I love men, and I've got the most gorgeous men in my life. But when I talk about the male gender, you guys have to cop it sweet. Suck it up, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
you have to change things. You know, why do we have to go into the kitchen and clean up the fucking mess? You know, clean it up yourselves.
That's true. And actually,
oh, that's not going to happen, is it? No. We'll have to do it, girls. Come on. Look, in Australia, it's a war. Quite frankly, women are at war with men. And, oh, there's so many things we could talk about that. But, you know, one woman a week is murdered here by family violence or ex-partner violence or just violence. They just rip us off the street and rape us and kill us. And I really hate all that inference that rape kills a woman. A penis has never killed a woman, all right?
It's absolutely true.
How could you possibly kill a woman with that little piece of flesh there?
So you're mad. I mean, you're not mad. You're wonderful. And you wrote this marvelous letter to the Prime Minister that I wanted to read.
I did?
Which was, yes, well, it was just in one of your things. Dear Prime Minister, may I have a word?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we had a female Prime Minister in Australia for a while. And in fact, have you heard that she was thinking of buying, that she may have bought in Daylesford with two other women?
In Daylesford?
Yeah, in Daylesford. I know the house.
She's around the corner.
I know, that's where I live.
Oh, do you? Why have we never met before?
I don't
me
know.
Me and my coat and you and your hair. My God.
We should have met, shouldn't we?
Okay, read the letter. This actually was on the Hoopla. If anyone in Ireland, and if you're there in Ireland and you want to know what's actually going on here with women and all that, you just go on to hoopla.com, and it's a website where you can express all your opinions and wonderful stuff. So I would say
I'd like you to read it. It was on Hoopla, and actually I put it in there for you to read in your own beautiful voice.
I haven't. Where? Oh, God, are you telling me to get technical?
You have to click down the bottom, and there's a balloon on the left-hand side of Skype, and then up will come your letter to the Prime Minister.
There's a balloon? There's a balloon? What an ass. What do you mean?
Go below our photograph.
Instant message, is that it?
Yes, that'll be it.
All right. It's me talking to you. I have nothing to say to you.
All right,
you'll have to read it.
Dear Julia, this is the Prime Minister, marry your hairdresser, have a baby.
Oh, hang on, wait. Put it into context, because this was all around Julia Gillard. She was still Prime Minister, and there was this big question on Hoopla, and it was concerning the misogyny speech, which went around the world, right? And which we've just played. Yeah, I know, which we were trying to say to her, how could she survive all of this? And I guess my letter was a real tongue-in-cheek thing, you know. Okay. The only thing I didn't tell her to was to grow a beard.
Well, I'm doing that.
Do you? Off you go. Sorry.
I'm growing a beard, which all the men in the chat box will be glad to know. Dear Julia, marry your hairdresser, because she actually lives with her hairdresser. She'd come out as a lesbian in the, went through a lesbian phase in the early, in her early political days before she became a prime minister. Now she lives with her hairdresser. So we have this single woman whose partner is her hairdresser as our prime minister. No children, and she's our prime minister until somebody did the dirty on her, but that's another story. So Sue's written her this letter. Dear Julia, marry your hairdresser, have a baby, stick to your guns, wear sensible shoes and more low-cut dresses, try false eyelashes, get a speech therapist, take a voice off for us, will you, Sue?
Julia. I can't do a voice, but it's terribly downbeat and very Australian. It sort of sounds like she's got a golf ball in the back of her throat. I have no idea how to do her voice.
You're brilliant at it.
One voice. Yeah.
She does need a speech therapist. She's got the most ochre accent you ever heard.
YouTuber, you can see her. I mean, that was the only thing that used to drive me mad was her voice. But everything else about was just fucking brilliant.
I know, she was
Oh, I got so angry. Anyway, yeah, so are we going to talk about her all morning? What are we going to do?
We're going to talk about why we marched yesterday, and we're going to talk about why you think that women have thrown away their femininity for feminism, and that you think that feminine power is one of the most extraordinary things on earth. And what I want your idea of what femininity is, Sue. But I'll finish reading this thing on Julie, will I? Or we won't bother.
Yeah,
I'll just put it in chat for the people in chat, and everyone else can Google you.
I don't know where you read. I said femininity in exchange for feminism. What was that?
You told me that on the phone yesterday. You said that you thought that women throw away their feminine power.
Oh yeah, but that's not femininity. I think femininity is something that's been invented by men. I think the point of where we are at now in this world is that women have been so long excluded and sidetracked from their true Shakti force and their true power, which is this, they have the true, but this is the Shakti force of the universe. It belongs to the feminine. This earth planet is a yin energy planet, and masculine energy has subverted the yin energy and sidestepped it for the last 2000 years. Now, what is happening now is this whole chaotic world that we live in. We are in the age of chaos, and I've done a lot of work on this, and I'm sure everyone else has. But if it's not obvious to you that this is the age of chaos, well, then fucking wake up, you know. Go out and look what's happening around you. Look what's happening to the planet. The point about it is that the feminine has been so sidestepped and thwarted for the last 2,000 years is that the only thing that can happen now is that we have to, we rejuvenate, we get the yin energy back up to level out with the yang. The men need this energy so badly, you know, they don't know what they're doing, and they need to reconnect with that inner energy that they have, which is the yin, and they need to honor the women and honor the planet, their mother. Their mother is this planet, you know. So what I'm saying is this next paradigm, and we are in the age now, this is the millennium. Every year in this millennium starts with MM, the Roman numerals, and as far as we're all concerned, that stands for Mary Magdalene energy, okay? So for the next 1,000 years, we are in the paradigm that is altering and bringing back the yin energy into the planet. And without that, we're doomed. But it's going to happen. But every woman has to regain the knowledge, you know. It's secreted away. But I tell you what, it's out there. There were books written in the 1800s that have all of this knowledge in them. We have great foremothers. We have thousands of years of stuff. But it's always
like... We burnt them all at the stake. But that's the problem.
We have to reinvent the wheel. Every time I come out to do something, I have to reinvent the wheel, you know.
Because we burnt all our good women. They killed
11. 11 million people were burnt at the stake. Most of them were women. You were called a witch because you had a vagina. That's basically why you were a witch. Okay, that was the sort of big thumbprint. I mean, I do this. I do lots of shows, and I just did a show 2 weeks ago where the male laws that are made on this planet are just unbelievable. And without women on this planet, there would be no religions. Okay. Because I reckon all religions are based on control of death and control of women. And all the laws around religions mostly are all about that. And without women as their scapegoat, men will have no power. Only what would they have? Power over dogs or something. I don't know. Fuck.
You're very...
Some
power
of these
the bridges. Power let me give the bridges,
let me give you some quotes. Elizabeth Cady Stanton. You know, there were three women in the American diaspora.
Hang on, I'm going to interrupt. I want you guys to know she's a very famous actress in Australia, and she won the Meyer Award and a whole lot of awards. Keep going, Sue.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony are now a woman who you've probably never heard of, Matilda Jocelyn Gage. Now, Matilda Jocelyn Gage was the most dangerous of this triumvirate that rewrote a women's Bible, that rewrote women's suffrage. They were the three leaders of the movement in America at the end of the 19th century to get votes for women. The one who's disappeared is Matilda Jocelyn Gage. Now, she wrote a book in 1892 called Woman, Church, and State. Now, you can get it. You can get it on bookdepository.com, okay? It's been reprinted, amazingly enough. Every girl should have this in her school bag. Every girl should read this book. Elizabeth Cady Stanton was absolutely brilliant. What a narrator. Okay, they went on the train, the sort of freedom train. They used to do these pit stops everywhere. Susan B. Anthony, I'll just tell you now, capitulated, and she sold out to men. So she's the name you all know, okay, because she's the one that's sucked up, all right? But Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Matilda, anyway, so she's on this ride, okay, and they stop at these places and they give these talks. Now, she's just given this talk about women's independence and feminism and suffrage. This is around 1870-something, okay? This man pipes up. He says, I just want you to know that my wife has given me six beautiful sons and she's at home and she is as happy as Larry. And Cady Stanton turned around and she said, my dear sir, I have yet to meet a man worth repeating six times. Plus all the other stuff. You know, she talks about how men can't bear trees. And in Australia, my God, if it moves, you cut it down. And if it moves, you shoot it. And if it doesn't move, you cut it down. That's the law for men here in Australia. Abbott is just about to destroy all the forests in Tasmania. Beautiful.
I know.
Heritage. This is national heritage on the book. Unbelievable,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable. And now they've made a law against we're not allowed to march, which is completely unconstitutional. And I know. Are you going to march when we're not allowed to march?
Yeah, and we should change it to you're not allowed to munch, and then we can all just make fun of it, you know.
Exactly. And we can actually say, well, we're not marching and we're not protesting. We're just going for a stroll and letting people know what we think.
Why don't we wear rollerblades? Why don't we all wear rollerblades?
Can you do that? I'll ride my horse. I'm not so good on rollerblades.
Skateboard, and we're not allowed to rollerblade. And if we all wear moccasins, we can just shuffle. We're not allowed to shuffle.
If we shuffle, we're not marching, we're dancing, or we're shuffling.
We ride wheelchairs? Are we not allowed to?
We could all go in wheelchairs.
Let's get on horses. Let's all ride horses.
Well, this is what I'm thinking because I've got those. So horses is the way I think we should go. We can sort of go head to head with the police horse.
Jill, it's Edith here.
Have we got Edith? Edith, would you please invite Edith on?
She's probably in the room. I will march. I don't go that fast now because I'm a bit past it. But I could walk my wheelie down. And if they say you're not allowed to walk, well, then what on earth does that mean? Hello?
Edith, I've been dying to meet you.
Yes?
Edith, how could we go on trolley?
It's been so long. I couldn't help you with that one, Jill. The how of it all. The why, well, I could help you with that. You know, I was talking to my friends the other day. They were all talking about how much body hair you lose, you know. I said, well, listen, girls, I have a Brazilian and I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah,
I'm saving a fortune, I can tell you.
The pedophile's dream in the old people's home.
I'm a pedophile's dream. Come on in, chaps, especially if you're a Roman Catholic, because I'd love to sit on your face. Is that what they say? Is that what they're meant to do? Sit on a Catholic priest's face. Now, listen, over there in Ireland, I'm planning to come back, and guess what's going to be in my luggage? A couple of snakes, all right? I'm bringing the snakes back into Ireland, because that's all that's missing, and you know the serpent power is the power of the feminine. And little Patrick, whatever his name was, little Patrick is long gone. His energy is very old and gone. So it's Bridget well. You've got to get it right now. I went to Ireland many years ago, and what they've done to all the beautiful sacred places. I actually graffitied a bus or two in Ireland, and now I'll admit to it now because I'm so far away they can't get at me. I graffitied a bus saying, "Where's the goddess?" That's what I wrote on a bus. I did.
With some lip gloss or lipstick?
Lipstick, but I don't have any lips left now, so I don't need to bother with that anymore either. I would look very strange if I wore lipstick now. I would look very strange. I would look like a puppet.
All I can do is laugh.
Now pull yourself together, Gillian. Gillian. Oh. Do you say that? Gillian, treble cock, that means three penises. Why do you have a name like that?
I'm compensating. I have.
What?
I have to compensate.
She's gone off to have a coffee. She's got three penises. She's compensating. Are you transverbial? What is it? A transvestite, she said.
A transvestite.
Oh. She wanted my clothes, but you wanted her clothes as well. She said you wanted her clothes. This is bad. And we're talking to Ireland now. Which part of Ireland are we up in Donegal?
I don't know where they are. I just got no idea. Where are you, everybody? You better tell me. Are you in Donegal and are you looking forward to Edith Snape?
It'll be Connemara or just as long as it's not up Northern Ireland because, I don't want to go there.
What's wrong with Northern Ireland, Edith?
A bit scary up there, I think. Plus you've got all those stupid commie landowners and, it's an evil place. What the British did to Ireland should that, you see, that's, we did this to the Aborigines here, but I tell you what the British did to the Irish was far worse, I think, far worse, because they'd never recover now. They've got Northern Ireland sewn up, you see. What a mess they made of everything.
Oh, Edith.
You know, they've got Downton Abbey on here. You can see where it all began. What a load of wicked, dread people.
They are. They're absolutely dreadful. What about that girl, who, I think, Miss Hatchback, Mariana Hatchback. Is she around?
Gemma?
Yes.
Gemma Hatchback? Oh, she's on drugs. I'm sorry. She's flat out. She's on Xanax and, all those other dreadful things she takes.
You can't drag her out of the bedroom, can you, Edith?
I wouldn't go near her. The room smells of Nag Champa, and it's not a nice smell. I don't like that sort of Indian incense business. I loved that Marigold film, though. Wasn't that lovely? I didn't realise how
loved
lying.
I loved it.
Lying Meg Smith's face was. She looks like a crumpled piece of tissue paper. It made me feel quite young.
I'm going to India in September.
Oh, well, you be careful now. You could end up looking like Maggie Smith. It didn't do her any good.
It didn't do her any good at all.
It must have been the climate did that to her. I've never seen anything like it. Her face was just devoid of moisture. It's sad, isn't it? She's a lovely, lovely lady, though, I'm sure. Hello?
That's very funny. You are so funny, Sue. I love Edith. Thank you for bringing her on.
Oh, God. Okay, so how are we going? Are we nearly... I just got a message saying my megabytes are nearly blown out. Does this cost megabytes when we do Skype? I had no idea.
Oh, hang on. We can call you back because Stephen should have called.
Oh, shit. Am I calling you?
I think you must have. You better hang up and we'll call you back.
I'm hanging up. How do I do it?
I called her.
Oh, no, Stephen called you, so you shouldn't be using any megabytes.
She's out now.
Oh, well, go and grab it back.
Well, okay.
Oh, she's so funny. Oh, well, anyway, so we don't want to have any dead air there. I see Barbie Bondrace. Hello.
Thought you might have played a bit of music then while we reconnected. Oh, I didn't realize I'd done that. That was very foolish. I have a sort of limited supply here of megabytes or whatever they're called. Oh, dear.
Your bandwidth. Okay.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hi, very good.
That's good. I'm just going to empty much while we're talking.
You were in the Archie Review. You wanted to become an actress, and your father obviously said, don't put her on the stage, Mrs. Worthington.
No, my father really. Yeah, okay. But really, it was my decision. It was my decision. I didn't want to go up to Sydney tonight, or I felt very, very sort of unsafe doing that. So I did architecture. Strange enough, later I learned that my dad had always wanted to be an architect, but his father died very early, and he had to go and look after the family. So, yeah, he didn't get to do it. So I did. So that was good.
Mm. And the Archie Review was one of the very best ways that you could really get into theatre, because I used to go there as a kid. I have my brother. Oh, well, you'd know Peter Watts, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He did The Smells. You know, he used to make all these really weird smells. So you'd smell the beach and all these different sort of smells. But he's just slightly, he's in between you and my
age.
Where
did he get them from? Where did he produce them from? His bum or something? What do you mean? say that to a kid. That's, how'd you get that? How'd you get that beach fart? I want, give me a strawberry ice cream fart. How did you do that?
Something like that. But his came out of a box. They must have been Julia, he goes.
Listen, we're laughing, but no one else is. They've lost the plot.
They're laughing. They're laughing away. Everyone's having a good time, I guarantee it. There are big comments that people are saying they're in absolute stitches. Lots of people are laughing. But so The Smells come out of a box. I don't know how he did it, but there was some sort of a box that put out smells, and you could do all sorts of different smells. It must have been very modern.
We're talking
about the Architects Review at Melbourne University, which was one of the
fun. Some of the jokes stank, but we didn't have any smells in this show. Okay, so the Architects Review has been compared to the Cambridge Footlights Review. This was a real major an event, and it's gone now because they're all Asian and they've all become too serious. So basically we did every year there was an architecture review and everyone was meant to be involved in it in some way or other. And things were very different then. This is back in the '60s. My God. Yeah. So I ended up in my final year directing the review. So I was the first woman to direct the review and also, win the thesis prize, which was a bit of a shock. And then subsequently,
You won the architect's, prize for
Hopton prize for design. But my son, is now an architect and he also directed the review and also, turned out to be, he is now one of the most famous architects on the planet because he designed the Pixel building. And everyone go and have a look at Studio 505. Just go and have a look at the work they're doing. He's in China at the moment doing amazing things. But he designed the Pixel building, which has got a -5 carbon footprint, and it won the Planetary Award for the greatest negative footprint carbon copy, whatever.
Who was this? Who did this?
Dylan Brady is his name. Dylan Brady.
Your clever son. Yes.
He's an architect. Anyway, that's enough about him. More about me. So in the architecture review, that's where I really learnt, you know, about stand-up comedy and everything. And I also learnt that in the review, you had to do everything yourself. And so in a way, that led into the Pram Factory Theatre at the, in the Australian Performing Group. And that again was a theatre collective back in the '70s. And, so all of that work, you know, just teaches you an independence inside theatre. And because I was also trained as an architect, I have a very great visual eye for everything. So all my shows in the end ended up being written by me and designed by me. And I worked with Kerry Dwyer, who was my director for some of the shows. And we also entered on a very strong spiritual journey. We never went to bed together, but we did get very close. And we are still sisters, soul sisters, we call ourselves. Yes.
Yes.
So, look, you know, it's been an amazing career and I'm still out there doing that. In fact, 2 weeks ago I did this big show with the CWA here, which is a bit like the WI in England, the women's. Oh, what do they have in Ireland? What would they have? The WC, the CI. Colleen's
IWA. No. If you have request wage. Then it's your IWA instead of the IRA. Go on. IRS. It doesn't matter.
So most of my shows have been, and then I was last in Ireland in, when was it? 2000 or something for the, 97 for the Galway, the International Women's Playwrights Conference in Galway, which was lovely. And then I did a whole journey, a spiritual journey through Ireland, which was something I'd been promising myself to do. So I've got to go back. I've got to go back now that I have an Irish passport and citizenship. I've got to get back there. For heaven's sake.
How did you get this Irish passport?
My grandmother. My grandmother's Irish.
So she really is. They didn't believe you.
No. She was born in Donegal. You can get an Irish passport with your grandmother. That's the last stop, though. Can't be great-grandmother. Got to be grandmother. So it's a very precious little object, which I'm yet to use, you know, which is great because an Irish passport's like an EU passport. You can go anywhere.
That's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm going all over the place here. I'm actually trying to find a Monty Python skit to put in here. And there was a Monty Python's Women's Guild, but I can't find it now. So I'm being a bit vague here. So good on you, Stephen.
Somebody wants to know what part of Donegal.
I'd have to go and look at her birth certificate. Isn't that terrible? I can't do that right now. But I went to Donegal. I went to where she was born. Her name was McGinty. But what happened was that she, in those terrible old days, you know, she got shipped off to Scotland, to live with a sister, too many children. And she got shoveled off to Scotland. So she ended up growing up in Edinburgh. And, that's where she met my grandfather, who was a patriarchal asshole, who was doing medicine. And he brought her back to Australia. And they had five children by the time they got back. And when they got back on the boat, the whole Hatton family were standing on the wharf, his patriarchal father and the whole 11, seven sons and a daughter called Maud, who was crushed and crucified. And they held up two children over the railing, said, "Look, this is the family." And then, of course, when they got off the boat, they produced three more. She's too embarrassed to show her children. Oh, God. She had a hell of a lot. Anyway, too much drink and bashings and, yeah. Anyway, that's the Irish Stephen, side.
That's the Irish.
Yes, Jill.
Stephen, I want to play this Monty Python skit. I want to be a woman.
Yeah.
So do you want to put it in?
Well, I can.
Pardon?
We have to mute.
Okay, then we'll mute. Well, thank you, Sue. This has been great so far. I thought while we were talking about women,
that's the life of Brian.
Yes, I think it was. Yes,
it is
absolutely.
The life of Brian. I remember that. Eric Idle being the one who wanted to be a woman. And of course, that is the biggest problem on earth, you know, men's control over birth. Well, they've pretty well got that now with IVF, which I entirely disagree.
You and I both had our babies at home, which is very common in England, but it's not common in Australia, particularly back early. Did you have John Stevenson?
Yes, I did. But he did nothing. He was asleep on the couch.
He was asleep at my birth too. Sorry, go on.
My wife. That's all I needed was Leah. And she actually gave birth to her own, to her third child 2 weeks later. So we were both hugely pregnant. And she was, it was great. That was amazing. But, you know, to get back to all of that life and birth and death stuff, you know, but if you want to really consider what man-made laws have done to women, just consider the law of illegitimacy, okay? How can you say to a woman who's just given birth to a baby and carried it under her heart for 9 months that this baby is unlawful? I'm sorry. And we just accept that law. It's still here in Australia, you know. It's unbelievable. Why do we just accept that law?
My sons are illegitimate, both of my sons. I've never married. I've refused marriage. I'm very, very anarchistic.
So what does it mean for you to actually call your son illegitimate? I mean, I can't.
Well, I don't. But you just said there shouldn't be illegitimacy, and I'm just saying. Well, I've actually got the matriarchal lineage. I am born Trebilcock, and my sons are Trebilcocks. I kept my name. I gave them my name. I call it the matriarchal lineage.
I wouldn't give anyone the name.
It's character building. It's like being a boy called Sue. Sue. What do you know about Lemon? What do you know about Lemon?
What do you think of the name Trebilcock? She's saying it one way, but I'm saying it the way it looks, Trebilcock.
I know. Most everybody that meets her for the first time says that too.
Of course they do.
Look, made up a story about this. My name's Jill Trebilcock, and it could be considered a rude name, but it comes from the name of Philcock, which somehow sounds even ruder now. But I've been called up. It goes on and on. I've been called double cock, trouble, tremble cock, triple dick, dribble dick, sniffle dick, splinter dick. I can't remember this speech I made up once. But
change your name to Gillian Double Vagina.
Trebil cunt. That's a more feminine version,
I think. Double vagina sounds wonderful.
That could be handy.
Double vag. DUBBLEVAG. There you go.
Well, that would be great. Well, I don't get away when I tried saying, hi, I'm Jill Trebil cunt. It just... And then I say, I just wanted to feminize my name. And, you know, the guys just sort of start to fall through the ground. You know, the earth opens up. And,
hey, all right. Are we just about, how long do we talk for?
No, we're not. We've got another 20 minutes. What do you know about the passion and its deep connection with lemon delicious pudding?
Well, that was a play. Strange things that happen in the world. Anyway, that was a play that took me a long time to write, an amazing play. But I think, in fact, it was done at the Playbox Theatre, which is a major theatre company in Melbourne. It went through many sort of strange events as it was being produced and directed, and lost designers, and lost on the night before we opened, the lighting designer's mother died, and stuff like this, you know, weird stuff happened, and it was a big lesson. However, I think for that play, you know, this goes back to everything I've ever really written in terms of plays. I've done a lot of stand-up shows, but a lot of plays I've written. The last one was really called The First Step on a Tram is Hell, and that was, a one-woman show. It's much easier to do one-woman shows because, honestly, you can just rehearse on your own and you don't have to worry about anyone else. I'll buy coffee for anybody else. I've always been writing about my life, about my mother, you know. This has always been an underlying theme, I think, in everything, because I think part of me was so aware of her painful journey in life. But she never understood that, actually. She would come to all my shows and she never really listened to anything. And she'd always come back and say, oh, your legs look so lovely. That was about as far as her commentary ever went. But the passion and its deep connection with the lemon delicious pudding is an amazing piece of theatre, in as much as it was revelatory in terms of discovering a spiritual platform and unveiling a whole lot of stuff and connection with the Christ energy. And so what I do now is, as a shamanic healer, I work in the light body and I do healing work with people, which is never ceases to amaze me. And all of that began with working with the Galisteo people and doing past life, and then coming into my own understanding of what the Christos energy really does. And that, and working with shamans and doing my training and whatever, reveals to me that, you know, there's this amazing way of healing, which is very, very quick, and it's almost the opposite to what psychology does, which is just deals with the mind and not the body. So it's holistic healing. And I'm, yeah. I'm very, you know, I'm very wicked, and I've done, if anyone wants to know what my energy is, I have Loki energy, the Hayakoa energy, which is the trickster god. So this is how I usually work. I come into something, I destroy it, and then it rebuilds itself again with the seeding of new life and new energy. So I know that is my journey in life. That is why my next stage is to go into battle again, yet again, after sort of a period of withdrawing all of that, trying to be nice to people, and that's not working. So the next stage is, as Edith said in the last show, we have a thing here called the White Ribbon Movement, and this is to do again with violence against women all over the planet, but specifically, you know, think globally, act locally. So violence against women, and we have this thing called the White Ribbon Event, and this is where men wear white ribbons and make an oath that they will never hurt a woman. And if you again read Hoopla, you'll find out that the women say, yes, my boyfriend took the oath 3 weeks ago, and last night he punched the shit out of me. Well, there you go, you know. So men can swear oaths like they do a lot, but it doesn't mean much. And the White Ribbon events, they're all organized by women. Men will never, ever start a movement for women. Why should they? You know, they are the conqueror. They hold the power. Why should they ever want to change the status quo and that thing? Individually, men will, you know, those good men out there, the ones who marched for Jill Maher in the streets, you know. This is a woman who was ripped off the street, murdered. I'm not even going to say rape, because the rape's got nothing to do with the murder, really. That girl who was raped in India, the girl who died, she had bottles shoved up her cunt, you know, sticks and bottles. It wasn't a penis that killed her, you know. It was the, you know, and then, and this, This glorification of rape is one of the first things I want to change. I don't want to talk about rape anymore because to me, rape is nothing, you know? It's just the penis, you know? What the fuck is that, you know? It's not that. It's what they, it's how they put a knife in her and then they strangle her and it's murder. And rape has got nothing to do with it. It's just kill. Kill this woman, murder her, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So this next movement, which Edith calls, she said, Edith, come and tell her, I've finished with that radio show. I don't want to go back.
No, we want you, Edith. We love you. We need some wisdom.
Look, I'll be very brief. I've got to go and empty my colostomy bag. I'll be very brief. And when I... you see, that's my colostomy bag backing up. You're going to understand what's like... I've said that I don't believe in this white ribbon event. I think it's a load of rubbish, and I'm going to start the red rag movement. And this is going to be far more powerful. And I'm going to, if I take all those Catholic priests who've abused all these children and all these dreadful men, all the Salvation Army, the whole lot of them, George Pell, put him up on the top of the, I'll drown them in a vat of menstrual blood. Now, I don't actually have, I have stopped menstruating. I was a very heavy bleeder in my time. I'll tell you this now. But the point is that I actually kept some of my menstrual blood. I kept it in a Tupperware beetroot juice container because the sealing on that was very good. And I put it in the freezer. I had it cryogenically sealed for the future time when, God, what was that? Did you take, what was that beetroot we had the other night, Sue? What, where did you get that from? What do you mean? I got it out of the fridge. What? I wondered why it was so... Where was the beetroot in it? What did you... She made a soup out of it. God bloody hell, I'd never get any more of that. That was my menstrual blood. It was cryogenically sealed, you understand? That was the last of me. Oh, God, I'm leaving now. God. It didn't taste bad, though. It was pretty good.
Your own blood always tastes good.
A little bit of cinnamon. I'm sorry, Edith. Anyway, so I think she's got a good idea. So the red rag movement and the red bandana. Now, when Aboriginal women do women's business work, they always wear the red bandana, right? So this is the symbol that I want women to start. I'm going to have a movement. I don't know how to start. Maybe in Ireland we can start it. God knows you've got enough to complain about over there. And you wear this red bandana and out you go. And it's women's business. And I'm afraid, I think it's war. We're at war again.
We're at war again. You know, but I have to point out that you do fluctuate between loving men and being and saying angry things about men. And you do have an ambivalent attitude towards men because
no,
you began.
I'm angry with men for not standing up and admitting that they've fucked up, you know? This planet is fucked, absolutely fucked, unless men stop doing what they're doing, which is war, environmental damage, greed, money, where they will sell their souls for more money, you know? And it's not, once we got Gina Reinhart. She's the most, what is she? The wealthiest woman on the planet. God, she thinks she could get a hairdresser. Yeah. Doesn't she look appalling? Anyway, Gina Reinhart. I mean, but she's working with her yang energy. She is not, she's not working with the female energy. She is the opposite of Shakti. Do you get a sexual vibe off her, Stephen? Gina?
Do you want to have sex with Gina Reinhart, Stephen?
Oh, I don't even know her.
Yeah, Google her. You'll see a picture of her. She's absolutely appalling. And she has destroyed her children. This woman who is she could give away $1 billion and she wouldn't notice it, all right?
Mm, yeah, that's right. Now, listen, I'm going to pull you into line for a second and I'm going to sort your mind out for you in true Jill Trebilcock style, and I'm going to tell you what you think. Not quite. As if finally. I've got a hope in hell. But I'm going to qualify this situation ever so slightly.
Sue?
Oh, Stephen's going to stop me from doing it. Go on, darling.
No. I just want to tell Sue I wouldn't have sex with that with another man's penis.
Jill's got a few spare. Use one of hers.
Yeah, I'll lend you one.
No, thank you.
So what I'm trying to say.
The dildo movement. That's another one. The dildo movement.
I've got my friend Barbie in chat, a dodo, so maybe we could get her there.
All right, but now sort out my brain for me, go on.
Yes, I'm going to explain to you that what you're raging against is actually that energy, that real sort of pioneer, or it's the barbaric aspect that's more personified in the men with the use of brute force. Now, I have to say, we both know that both men and women do use brute force. This sort of narcissistic lack of consideration or lack of empathy for the other is in all of us. And there are a lot of women abusers as well as men abusers. Like, we agree to that, don't we, to some degree. And the sorting
97%,
out.
97% are men. So I'm not agreeing with that. Okay. No. All right. There all are right. a few out there. Just like there's a Gina Reinhardt out there.
All right.
And there was a Maggie Thatcher out there, you know.
All right. But another thing that I know, which is really interesting, is that I am often surprised that not everybody thinks like me, because I tend to mix with my own clique, my own kind of people who seem to think like me. And then I go along and I find these other people and they think nothing like me. And I'm very surprised because of the small group of people that I choose to mix with, who are probably artistic and intellectual and down to earth. And so, but there are lots of other, did you know there are women pedophiles? Did you know there is an enormous number of women pedophiles? One in six victims of pedophilia is at the hands of a woman. Did you know that? Because I only learned that about 5 years ago.
We don't have those figures here, okay? That's absolutely not true here. Now, I'm going to stop this now.
That's in America.
No, listen to me. I'm going to stop this now because I don't get anywhere in towards changing anything when I talk to a woman who starts to do what you're doing now, okay? Because we don't have time for that. What we have to do now is not start to put blame back onto women. So please stop this now because
what I'm actually railing against is patriarchy. I agree with the patriarchal attitude, whether it's internalized in a woman or in a man. But yes, I agree with the anti-brutality.
Can I just now give you one other thought?
Yes.
Let's say there's no such thing. Let's say there's no such thing as the patriarchy. Now, what if you take that away? What we then are living in is the shadow form of the dark mother energy. Because I believe there's one energy on this planet, and that is the energy of the feminine in terms of the mother energy of the planet and how it needs to be nurtured and looked after. And there's the warrior energy, which is the masculine form of the yang energy, which goes out, and the protector. I do not believe that women should have warrior energy. They have a yang energy, but it is the men's, you know, journey on a very high level to do that. Now, what I see happening in the planet today is that we are in the grip of the shadow form of the energy of the dark mother. And if you want to go and do your Jungian study, which I've done, the shadow form is what takes over when the true energy gets done in. Now, look at money. Money used to be a gifting economy. That was the origin of money. And that was actually feminine. It was the anana. It was the storehouse, okay? This has now gone into greed. We are in a greed economy. And money, strangely enough, is becoming invisible. More and more and more, it's moving faster and faster, becoming invisible. And in the end, it's just a series of numbers you plug into a computer or something. Okay. You don't have much cash on you. You know, it's going.
Yep.
Gold is too heavy to move through time and space. So we don't even have time and space to move money now. We just have the ether. Money is war. War is no longer what war was meant to be, which was to make heroes of men and to take them into their, you know, to take them through their growing up period and their initiation into tribal stuff. And war now, if a soldier dies in war, it is headline news. Soldiers aren't meant to die in war. However, who does die in war, which is collateral damage, which is meaningless, which is women, children, old men, young boys, young girls, babies, they all die now in war and it means nothing. Okay.
Yeah,
so that is the shadow of war. Now war belonged to all the goddesses. I'm sorry. You know, there was Bard. She was the Celtic goddess of war. There were the Valkyries that came down from Valhalla to pick up the heroes of men from the battlefields. I mean, I do this stuff about the Valkyries. Okay. Here you go. Listen to this. Brunhilde, das ist Trudy hier. Yahoo.
Ja, Trudy, this is Brunhilde. What you got?
It's not so good down here. We got the House of Frau mit der Fräulein und eine Kinder.
What, you got no heroes?
Nein.
What, you got nine?
No, zero. We got no zero hero. Zero hero.
Okay, don't you come back here without the heroes, okay?
Okay. Yo, Heidi, looks like we are out of a job. They're the Valkyries, all right? Then you've got Ereshkigal, who sits in the underworld, the queen of the underworld. Now, once Greek mythology came in and took it all away, took away the original mythologies, which we should be remembering because this is the clue how we get back to what we should be, to the golden age. They took it all and, you know, reversed it all. The Mirror of the Patriarchy began with Greek mythology. And you, if you want to talk about Greek mythology, you go back one step further into the more ancient Sumerian mythologies. And then you will get to understand where it all went terribly, terribly wrong. Now, 2,000, 3,000 years we've had of this swing away from the yin energy. And the destruction of it is, it's all around us. We have this paradigm. This is what I was talking about way back at the beginning, you know? The paradigm we are in is disintegrating. And what I said yesterday at the march, which I'm working on now, which is the I Ching, and that 64th hexagram of the I Ching, which is the age we are in now. We have just come out of the 63rd. The 64th
before
hexagram
completion.
Is called before completion. And the 63rd is called after completion, which means we have completed that shitty, the end of it. The whole thing is being completed. Now, before completion, the 64th hexagram is called the exhaustion of the masculine. And it is talking about the masculine in terms of the yang energy and the yin energy. So forget about men and women, okay? Because there's a lot of men who are totally in their yin and there's a lot of women who are fucked up in their yang, okay?
That's where we're going, we agree.
We've got to let the women-man thing go and look at what does energy mean. And so women have to understand the power of the yin energy, the power of water. If you want to know what the yin energy does, the power of the yin, look at the Grand Canyon. That was made by water.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, yep, perfect. We've come to a point of agreement. We understand each other again, Sue.
Yes, we do.
Yay for us. We got through it. Yes.
So as St. Patrick's Day dawns in Galway, there you go. Silly, silly Catholics. You silly, foolish, foolish, stupid people. Anyway, I'm sure that the island of the, you know, the wonderful island of Bridget and all the sacred waters and, you know, oh, God, it's such an amazingly, you know, the whole spirit of Ireland is in the landscape, and it's so beautiful. And that's all those amazing. I tell you what, if you're in Ireland, and you probably can't buy this book because it's probably banned, it's called Mythic Ireland by Michael Dames. And every Irish person should have it, and they should wander around their country and go to all these places that he talks about, because that's what I did. And it's absolutely magical, mythical. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. Well, look, we've come to the end of the hour. We have to, I've got a song that I've queued somewhere where there with Stephen. It's actually on the meaning. It's an actually, have you got it, Stephen? Are you with us?
Which one?
It's an Irish song. I'll probably have to go into history and try and drag it up. But Sue, I've gone blank on your surname for a second. Hang on, don't you dare.
I'm not to tell you.
Sue Ingleton.
Yes, all right, you got
you
it.
You are a legend in more than your own lunchbox.
Glad the word box is in there.
Yes, I'm glad too.
Come on, it's a legend in my own cock box.
Cockpit,
is it?
In your own cockpit.
Cockpit? Jillian Cockpit.
We're just going to have coffee and try and work out more names for us both. And
you ring me up and we'll have coffee.
Jill,
because I'm sick of having coffee here.
Is it is it a Edith Piaf or something like that?
Oh well, yeah, you can play that Edith Piaf song. Just stay on in the background.
Did you hear the way you said Piaf? Jesus,
Piaf.
God,
Piaf.
Stephen, do you know about Edith Piaf? Well,
no, I don't.
She went to Lauriston. Did you go to Lauriston?
Yes, I did.
And I went to Merton Hall. So we learnt to say Piaf, but that's not American.
No, he's not American. It's She's not American.
Either.
Even though she went to America.
All right. Well, this is Sue Ingleton and Jill Trebilcock's opinion of the song of the show we just played, I hope. Would you put it on? It's Edith Piaf's No Regrets in English.
Je ne regrette rien.
Well, there we have it. We're about to lose our Sue, I think, Stephen. Are you there, Stephen?
I'm going. Have to go.
Sue?
Yeah,
Sue?
I have to go. Yeah.
I love you. I love you. You are fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll do it again.
Yeah, we will. We'll do it again, and I'll ring you, and we'll have coffee and yada, 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 yada.
We will. Okay, darling.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thanks, Sue.
Okay, bye.
Enjoy. Bye.
Do you have a mobile?
No, I don't do mobiles. I started to cook my left ear, and it didn't feel good.
Oh, I don't have a – send me your mobile anyway.
I don't use my mobile. I don't have it because it cooked my ear. I do have an iPhone here the kid gave me, but I don't know where it is. Are we on air? Can somebody in the chat box tell me if we're on air or off
air? You are on air.
Are we on air?
Oh, we're on air. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad everyone in Ireland knows my phone number.
Goodbye, Ireland. Enjoy the day and look out for the snakes. I've mailed some.
Good on you, Sue. Sue Ingleton, you are a legend. I can see why you're such a winner. Congratulations and thank you so much. And Stephen Roberts and People's Internet Radio, thank you so much for having us.
Stephen.
Okay, ladies.
Ladies. Ooh, that's what you think.
Well, Jill, you want to say goodnight?
Good night, all you wonderful people. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I hope Sue's snakes don't make it over to your country. But I'm sure she'll sneak them in there if she can, being Irish as she is.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Stephen Roberts, my dear, darling man friend.
Good night, Jill.
Good night.